hello and welcome back to another episode of Rock M Reacts. This time following a Missouri victory, 78-70 over Loyola Maryland on Saturday morning. Completing a three-game homestand, ended up 2-1 out of the homestand, not at all what anybody would have expected coming into this, but and especially with South Carolina State on Wednesday, you know, facing that 16-point first half deficit. Today, a lot better start to the game, jumped out. It was, I believe it was 31-9, was the worst it got out to, 22 points. But Loyola did, I mean, fought hard, really. You got to give them credit for kind of how they managed to get their way back into this game. Mizzou held them at arm's reach kind of throughout. You saw the veterans step up. Anthony Robinson, another great game that we'll touch on a little bit. But just to start, A, Gates really wanted this team to come out of the gates. He was disappointed with how they came out against South Carolina State following the JSU loss. Thought they should have been more fired up and motivated. Seemed like today they certainly were. I look at a lot of the perimeter defense, for me at least, was really what seemed to spark them. I think Nick Honor, Anthony Robinson, even Noah Carter out there, just very intense ball pressure. I think Loyola's ball handlers really struggled. Not that they weren't, definitely not the strong point of that team was their point guard play, and I think that really exposed them today with how, I mean, Anthony Robinson led the way with five steals. Team recorded 14 as a whole. And they turned that into a lot of live, you know, those live ball turnover points that, Gates loves so much. They had 28 points off turnovers today. So that was kind of what sparked the team. So, yeah, just your thoughts on how the team was able to start out better in this game following that SC State performance and how kind of that defense led to it.
I wonder how much he got in their tails following that South Carolina State game, because that was not a fun press conference after Mizzou defeated South Carolina State on Wednesday. Gate was not pleased with the way his team performed. South Carolina State led at halftime in that game. So, but Gates' team came out the gates. There's a kind of a joke. They came out the gates today, 31-9. Yeah, the defensive.
I'm not giving you a pity laugh.
The defensive presence there was outstanding. You know, it just looked like they were putting so much pressure on Loyola Maryland, and it led to them racing out to a 31-9 lead. Like you said, the guard play. East, Honor, and Robinson, they were just all over the place. I forgot how many steals they combined for, but they were forcing a lot of turnovers through those first, however, 10 minutes in the first half. Mm-hmm. It led to some open shots. Carter was knocking down some three-pointers, and it's really the start that you wanted to for this team. We've been looking for a start. I know I have been looking for a start like that all season, especially against the level of talent they've played. It seems like every team is just been, you know, kept the game close throughout the game, but you're up 31-9. It felt like this game was over. Okay, about to cruise to a victory, but then the final 10 minutes happened and Loyola Maryland came storming back.
Yeah, I believe it was a 14-0 scoring run. They kind of got on towards the end of that half, really brought them back into it. They closed it to within single digits at halftime. You know, and it seemed like here we go again. This is gonna be another tight game that Mizzou really has to kind of grind out, or they're going to lose. So yeah, there was a mid-game slump there, and then Missouri rebounded the second half. They were able to Loyola again. A tough team. They fought hard in this game. Really, to every time Mizzou seemed to have an answer, pull away, they would always have something right back, a counterpunch, if you will. But Mizzou kept them within roughly 8 to 10 points throughout much of the second half, kind of at arm's reach to where it was generally comfortable. They had to stay on a couple of rallies, but it's another case of, I mean, much like last season's team, this is the team that is so reliant on volume shooting and efficient shooting. Mm-hmm. And when you go cold, there's not much they're going to be able to do to really win games. And so you've got to be able to either A, limit those cold stretches, or have enough consistent options where they can offset, you know, if a Nick Honor is having an off night or a Shawnee's having an off, someone else can step up in their place. Last season, there were multiple guys that, you know, late in the year were able to step up when Kobe Brown wasn't having his usual day.
Guys like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you wonder who those guys are going to be this year. Anthony Robinson's kind of showed up in that way somewhat, but you're going to need a little bit more from that. So just kind of, your evaluation, that late game slump, and then kind of how they responded in the second half and were able to kind of hold them off. I mean, maybe a great sign of things after the Jackson State loss was kind of them not being able to put away a team.
It was kind of weird because it seemed like Loyola got hot, and then they just went ice cold again. It was kind of weird for both teams. It was a game of runs. But, you know, the second half adjustments Gates was talking about, second chance points. There was another factor I think he was talking about, too. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I noticed really to snap that 17-0 run Loyola had, Caleb Grill, he's kind of that guy. He hit a three-pointer to snap that 17-0 run, hope Mizzou go up in the locker room. But just overall, it was just kind of weird to me how they were going to run, they would get cold, and Mizzou would go on a run and get cold. But, you know, it's not always going to be that way when you play a tougher team and they go on a run on you, because, you know, the talent level is going to be far higher when you play some tougher teams coming up, especially up on Tuesday, than it was tonight. So, yeah, that's kind of the thoughts I have on that.
And it came down to a lot of, especially late in the game, the stars showing up, I think it was.
Your three team captains.
Your three captains and Anthony Robinson kind of as that quartet right now that have been the most consistent. I'll go ahead and call, I think Noah Carter, at least wire to wire throughout every game, has been the most consistent player in the fact that he's been consistently scoring. He hasn't had any major cold stretches. He's been playing significant minutes. He's been on the glass. He's been reliable in every facet. Not necessarily standing out per se, but he's... You know what you're getting from him night in, night out. Nick Honor, you know, you've had some instances where he's not shooting enough, or, you know, he said post-game the coaching staff had told him that he wasn't being aggressive enough on defense.
Which was present today, so they definitely got in his tail.
Exactly. He said after the game that was definitely something he focused in on coming into this game. But he's been a guy that's really only had kind of these big spurts. You know, you look at the second half against Minnesota, obviously, but you look at some other second half instances. Sean East, I would argue, has also been consistent in that regard, but he's even had a couple of games where he scored single digits and had a very quiet night. He had 17.
17,
he was,
okay.
Yeah, he was second to Carter. Carter led the way with 18.
He was their offense over the final 10 minutes, Sean East was.
And he also
did it quietly, too.
And he also led with 4 assists as well, which is another big deal for him. But, yeah, I mean, at least for me, in my perspective, those 4 players, because, I mean, outside of those 4, you look at the rotation. Gates said the rotation is still figuring itself out. Yeah. You've got... Jesus playing less minutes than he was. Tanjay playing less minutes. Vanover's really playing less than Butler and Pierce at this point. And you kind of go down that list. Grill and Bates have seemed to be the mainstay rotational wing guys that are getting pretty consistent minutes. Bates got into some foul trouble today. That kind of prevented him from really playing some significant minutes. Kurt Lewis provided a spark today.
He had a 3-pointer, I think, didn't he?
He did, yeah, from the corner. I remember that. But they're still really working out who's going to be past Anthony Robinson on the bench. You know, who are those guys you're going to be able to rely on 7, 8, 9 that are going to give you those quality 10 to 15 minutes a game? They don't have that yet. So you're looking at Noah, most consistent. Sean East is the guy you're looking to for a bucket when you need it at this point. And Nick Honor is kind of your rock that you're relying on that can spark the team on either end. But Anthony Robinson, I mean, led the team with 5 steals tonight. He was one of the biggest proponents kind of motivators on that perimeter defense that we were talking about, but also just offensively looks so comfortable in the open floor. He's so fluid and knows how to finish around the rim. He's got a great shot as well. That's something that's been really impressive to see so far. And he just seems so mature out there. I mean, I forget who he came on the floor with earlier today, but he was the first guy off the bench today. And it seems like that's going to be the case going forward. Gates even quoted saying post game, "The only thing that I've seen that's consistent about this team so far is Anthony Robinson being one of the first players off the bench and being, you know, giving us a significant effort when he does and really providing us with a lot." So he called out Aiden Shaw for not doing enough today. Connor Vanover as well. It's a lot of guys that Aiden Shaw expected to take, you know, a slight offensive step forward, but also just rebounding. I mean, he's had some flashes. Yes, the blocks on Wednesday were nice, but Gates looked at 2 rebounds in 14 minutes, 1 rebound for 7 minutes. Not what you need out of them. So, yeah, your takeaway just the personnel on the rotation, kind of where it stands right now.
I've been saying this for a while now. Anthony Robinson, he looks just like a confident guard out there. He doesn't look like a freshman, which is good. Like, when he gets out on the court or just on the offensive and defensive side, he just knows what he's doing. You can attack the bucket, you can shoot the 3-pointer, and he's got 5 steals a day. That's amazing. 5 steals and 5 rebounds. So I hope he stays all 4 years. And there was a point in the game where you had all 3 freshmen on the court with Butler. Butler's a good defender. I believe he hit a 3-pointer as well. And then Pierce actually got some minutes. So like we said, this coming down here, it's great seeing you have your freshmen in here contributing well. As far as the rest of the rotation, I don't really know. I don't know if these guys are just kind of cold right now and just haven't gotten into their groove yet. The only other one that I would say that I'm really comfortable with is probably Caleb Grill. It seemed like he's played great, mostly in that middle 8. He can give you a 3-pointer when you need it. He grabbed a nice rebound in the game. I don't know if it led. It was actually a putback. It was in the first half. He had a putback rebound, and he put it back up.
It was a little like it was opposite rim side. He kind of had to scoop it underneath around the rim, kind of with his right hand on the left side. It was very difficult.
Yeah, he's old enough, and he's a savvy veteran. I'm still waiting. I feel like he has a big game coming up. Hopefully it's against Kansas. Yeah. But it's about Robinson and him, and you can take Butler off the bench. So there's three guys right there that I can think of off the top of my head. You know, like you said, Bates, Carlisle, Martin, Shaw, and especially and Vanover also. It's just been real inconsistent. You don't get a really good night in and a night out, good performances from them. And you're still waiting on that, which we hope that it'll come alive here, especially over this five-game stretch that they're about to embark on. But, you know, you're really, what, about six, seven deep right yeah. now that you can confidently say that I can come out and perform. Probably not even that, but, you know, it's something that's got to improve going forward.
Which one of the things we talked about coming into this homestand was, you know, establishing that rotation, that depth, and also getting a lot of these depth pieces some more confidence, have a couple of successful offensive nights, and just really kind of have your main threats emerge throughout this homestand. I don't think coming out of this, you accomplished everything you want to. Mm-hmm. I think Gatesby will also admit Jackson that. State, yeah. But it's, well, you also just you still haven't found those depth pieces. I mean, before this, I think you knew Anthony Robinson was already emerging before this homestand mm-hmm. even. You know, you would hope someone like Tamar Bates, John Tanjay, you know, Caleb Grill would really take control. Yeah. So, again, I think Grillo gives high energy minutes regardless. Even if he's not scoring, I think he is incredibly valuable on the floor for his rebounding mm-hmm. And just his athleticism. But you're going to need more from guys like that, especially when you go Tuesday, inaugural ACC-SEC Challenge at Pittsburgh. The Zoo is going to be rocking for that game. Pitt, unless I'm mistaken, just went 0-2.
I think they beat Oregon.
You're right. They beat Oregon State, lost to – no. Anyways. All I know is that Pitt did not go undefeated I believe they played in Brooklyn this past week during Feast Week. So the Panthers are also looking to pick up some quality non-conference wins to build up their tournament resume. They're a deep team, very experienced, brought a lot back from their roster mm-hmm. last year that went on a little mini run out of the first four into the, I believe, the round of 32.
They beat
Iowa State, lost to Xavier, I believe. That's
correct.
Yeah.
They beat Iowa. I know they beat the mess out of Iowa State.
Yeah, something along those lines. But, yeah, so it's going to be tough. Pitt's a bigger team. They've got some depth in the front court, some really solid wings that can get to the bucket and score. Mizzou is going to be another tough road environment mm-hmm. up in the north. I won't say northeast, Minnesota's not northeast, but up in the north.
Yeah, we'll go back up north. Good thing you're not playing outdoors up there.
Oh, yeah. But it'll be interesting because, it's going to be – Jeff Cable's going to have his guys ready to play. They're going to be a tough bunch. I think Mizzou's going to be really challenged on the glass, especially – it's going to be a game where you really would hope that Vanover or Butler or Pierce somebody. Can give you some really big minutes down low and competing on the glass and being able, because mm-hmm. you can't walk in there and get out-rebounded by 10 plus and expect to win. It's going to take a better shooting performance than they've shown the past couple of games as well. And it's kind of a crossroads this season because this Pitt matchup starts a stretch in December that's full. You know, loaded. Yes, you get a full week off between a lot of these games, but they're big. Wichita State, Kansas, Illinois, Seton Hall, and then you close out with Central Arkansas. So there's your tune-up before the SEC play. But it kind of all comes down to this. If you go winless in this stretch, or even if you only win one of these games, you're starting very, very far behind the eight ball if you're looking at mm-hmm. making the NCAA tournament. So what are you looking out for on Tuesday night in the Zoo?
Go in there and just fight. You know, go in there and fight. Don't get behind like you did Minnesota, or don't let Jackson State finish you off like – don't let Pitt finish you off like Jackson State did. Kind of – if you want to come out with a win, put together that first half against Memphis and that second half to Minnesota and just combine the two. I wouldn't say any game isn't winnable for this team. I wouldn't say that. But you would like to go in there into the Pete and come out feeling more confident with this team than probably what most of the fan base externally is feeling right now. Like you said, this stretch that they're about to go on, this five-game stretch is tough. And if you lose, two or more, I would say, then you're going to be in deep trouble if you still have NCAA tournament aspirations. But just go in there and give a good, hard-fought battle. Like you said, protect the rim, play good defense, and you can possibly come out of the Peak with a victory on Tuesday, which will be amazing for this team considering how the season has started so far.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing you look at is going into an environment like that. They were able to handle the Barn fairly well, mm-hmm. but yes, I think closing games out has been something they've struggled with these past couple of years. And I'll say this, I look at this team, and Gates especially does not like comparing this team to last year's team. Very different personnel, and teams take different times to mesh. But I will say this. I think the floor of this team is lower than last year's, purely because last year you had Kobe Brown, who could be a great equalizer. I think you had a little bit more overall team experience. And I think you had a little bit better offensive production overall. Mm-hmm. But I still would argue that the ceiling of this team is just as high as last year's was. At their best, with the shooting ability that they have, and then your veteran guards that you've got and the emergence of Anthony Robinson, I think the ceiling of this team is still NCAA tournament, mm-hmm. still could be a 7, 8, 9, 10 seed. It's going to take a lot more work than it did previously. But again, Gates did say the benefit of having the schedule and the difference between this year and last. At this point last season, all the statistics were great. You were undefeated. You were beating teams by 15 to 20. But you didn't really know who you were until you played Kansas. And then you figured out we still got a long ways to go. Mizzou already knows it's got a long ways to go at this point. Now it's about what are the steps to getting there. Yeah.
And he purposely is what he said. He scheduled these opponents because he wanted to schedule to where teams were playing Mizzou's weaknesses. Their strengths were Mizzou's weaknesses. And that's kind of what he's done with the schedule they've put together so far. So that's why, in a way, you can say, which is really no excuse, why Missouri's been struggling type of these games. He wants to go through adversity now than what they had to later in the season last year after they opened up, 9-0. So it's kind of it could be a good thing for you, but we won't really see that until this next upcoming month.
Because, again, I mean, one could argue last season, you look at it, I mean, sure, there was the great one over Illinois, whatever, but that team didn't hit its stride until midway through SEC play. You still had those performances against A&M and Florida that really were rough. So again, maybe this team hits their stride earlier on, maybe it's later on, who knows. Every team is different. That's something we've certainly learned this season, but that'll wrap it up for this episode. We'll be back next Sunday post Wichita State game at Mizzou Arena for another episode, but for Jaden Parker, that's it.
Thank you everyone for tuning into Rock M Radio, a proud partner of Fans First Sports Network. If you enjoyed this episode and would like to see more just like it beamed directly into your personal device, just click the subscribe button below, and you can find this podcast through the Apple Podcasts app or for iPhone or the Google Podcasts app for Android or whatever app you use to listen to your podcast. We are also available on Spotify. Just search for Rock M Radio. And if you like other sports, Fans First Sports Network is a podcast network that has coverage of all other teams, Major League Baseball, MLS, NFL, whatever you want to listen and read about. It is a great, great network full of really fantastic podcasts. So look them up and subscribe to any and all of those podcasts. Rock M Radio will be back with more episodes coming soon. Thanks.